Well, this is the last Sunday of the year, and I'm filling in one more time, and then Ben will be getting back on track next week and taking off with the new vision for the new year. But I wanted to end the year on trying to get you ready for the new year. And Isaiah 43, now that you're seated, you're comfortable, drinking, everybody stand up, all right? Everybody stand up one more time. And it's good exercise. Some of you need some exercise after what took place. Isaiah 43, Isaiah goes back and he prophesies in this chapter about what took place during Moses' day. And he goes back and he's got a prophetic word and he talks about what happens in Moses' day. And it's been many, many hundreds of years, you know, since that time. Isaiah now is, you know, contemporary his time. But he's got a word for his people and he refers back to Moses. And I really felt like it was for today, that even though it was thousands of years ago, there is principles that are timeless. And see, the God that made the universe is pretty smart. Everybody believe God's pretty smart. You think he's pretty smart? He's not growing in wisdom. He's not growing in learning and in trying, and that we're the first bunch of people he's ever dealt with. He's dealt with lots of people through the years and millions of people. He created us. And he's got a word, and I believe it's a word for today, and you'll see it. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to talk to you this morning about a new thing. Everybody say a new thing again. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Father, we ask you in our lives, God, as mundane maybe, or as routine and maybe in a rut in our lives, we ask, God, that you would do a new thing in our lives. Lord, you're so creative. Lord, your thoughts toward us are more than the sands on the sea. Lord, you've got things for us. You've got possibilities for us. We thank you, Father. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody say a good amen. All right, look at somebody, say a new thing. Would you say a new thing this morning? All right, you can be seated. God is always trying to do a new something in our lives. Many times we are not aware of it. The Bible says, would you not perceive it? And one of the greatest enemies of God doing a new thing is your past. It's like, we've always done it this way. You know, I've combed my hair this way for the last, you know, 45 years. We take the same route to work, on and on. But maybe your way needs to change this year. And that's one of the keys about life, is changing. I'm learning. This year I'm going to learn to weld. It was one of the things I ever wanted to do. I'm going to learn how to weld. And, you know, all in all. And you just kind of learn some new things in life to do. And maybe, you know, I remember the story of the wife and her husband was watching her cook a Christmas dinner, and they had a big ham, and she cut off a big portion of the left hand and a big portion of the right hand side. And he said, what are you doing that for? And she said, well, that's the way my mama did it. And when they came over for the holidays, he asked her mama, said, why do you cut off the two big portions of the end of the ham? And she said, I don't know, my mama did it that way. And then when he finally met the grandmother and had time with her, he says, Grandma, why do you cut off both ends? Well, I had a little bitty oven and that's the only thing that would fit in there. I had to cut off both ends. You might be cutting yourself short and don't even know it. You might be cutting yourself short and don't even know it. So we live sometimes with things that we think is the will of God, but it's not. I remember a 60-year-old person a while back was going to go to college. And I remember she said this. She said, you know what? I don't think I ought to go because I'll be 64 years old when I get out. And a friend of hers said very adeptly, she said, well, how old will you be if you don't go? So let me ask, how old will you be if you don't do some things? So I like this because he talks about impossible situations and God wants to make a new way. Moses, in verse 16, he says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, in verse 19, who brings forth chariot after horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. That's Pharaoh and his army that came after. And it's reminding us of the faithfulness that God did in Moses' life. God did something new in Moses' life because Moses was in a rut. And Isaiah says, I will do something new in your life like I did in Moses' life. like I did in his life. And you got to remember Moses. Moses had been 40 years in a rut. I don't know how long you've been in whatever rut you're in. In Alaska, they have some signs that says, pick your rut carefully. You'll be in it for the next 29 miles. Come on, somebody. And some of you have gotten into things in your life that you're just in a rut. That's how you do it. That's, you just get up. You don't even think about it. It's just routine and you get into it. So I want to talk to you about a few ways, five ways that God wants to do something new in your life, the way that he did in Moses' life. And I believe it'll help you. Five ways to get ready for a new thing in your life. Number one is, remember not the former things nor consider the things of old. Number one is this, is forget the past. Now, you may not believe it, but 2018 is over. You may have a day or two left and on and on. But listen, forget the past. The Bible says, do not call to mind the former things. Don't think about them. That means don't even bring it to your mind. You're talking about some memories where you may have had some failures in your life. There's nobody in here that did not fail in 2018. There's nobody in here that did not make a mistake in 2018. You can't live in the past. Listen, there's a reason they make the rear view mirror much smaller than your windshield. Because they do not want you driving your car by the rear view mirror. Now, you look in the rear view, when do you look in the rear view mirror? When you're about to make a move, is that right? If you want to move, if you're about to turn over in the left-hand lane, or you're going to get back over in the right-hand lane, you always look in your rear view mirror before you're about to make a move. Everybody look behind you. Everybody look backwards, would you? All right, now, look back here. You're about to make a move. Come on, somebody. You're about to make a move in life. And you check it, but you don't live your life looking in the rearview mirror. And some of you live your life thinking about all your past and what you've done wrong and what you've done, you know, what mistakes you made or whatever, or what glories you had. Don't live your life looking in the rearview mirror. God made the windshield much bigger. Exodus 14 and 13. I like what it says here. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Everybody say amen, amen. You know, one of the keys I've learned in life, a lot of people get around, they sulk. And they say, you know, I missed God's will for my life 10 years ago. I should have done this, but I didn't do that. I should have done this, but I didn't do that. And so they think now it's done forever. But let me tell you something about God. Listen, your mistakes, you don't have to start all over again to begin again. You don't have to go back to the beginning to start over. You don't have to start all the way over to begin again. Let me just say it this way. One time I was in Texarkana, and I was trying to go to Samuel's meeting, and I got lost. And I remember I got off the interstate, I drove and drove and drove, and finally I stopped and asked directions. And so the person said, well, you don't go back to the interstate, you just start here going this road, you go here. So from where I was, that's where I began. And let me tell you, wherever you are today, God has got a way for you to start where you are to take you where he wants you to be. You don't have to go back and think I've lost it forever. You can start again right where you are. You know, one of the great things you find out, mistakes really, God weaves them into your life and you learn from them. And you become, you know, Post-it notes? Post-it notes was one of the biggest mistakes ever. How many use Post-it notes every once in a while? You know, when they were trying to develop a super glue. And they never could get the dumb thing to stick. Come on, somebody. They end up with Post-it notes that you know, you can put on there and you pull it off. It doesn't stick. You know, they hated that to begin with. WD-40, you know that WD-40 is what? Yeah, 39 times they failed and the 40th time they succeeded. So they call it WD-40. That's why they failed 39 times to do what they were trying to create. How many know that who created the light bulb? No, he did not. Thomas Edison did not create the light bulb. He failed over 200 times. There was a guy named Evans that created the light bulb. But what they did was that Edison caused it, created it to be able to last and to work like we use it today. He tried 200 times. He failed trying to get the light bulb to light up like we like. Everybody look up at the light bulbs. Say thank you for 200 failures. Come on, somebody. You know why we got light in here? Because some guy was willing to fail 200 times and try again. So God wants to do something new in your life, and he wants to. In Exodus chapter 2, I want you to see the principles in Moses' life. And it says, and when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. Moses had murdered somebody. He had a failure in his life. And Moses fled from Pharaoh, stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And watch this. It says, it came to pass in the process of time. Everybody say the process of time. Now, the process, let me tell you something about time. Time is a great processor. Time really does help some things in your life. And you can look back in your life and say, Lord, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd made that decision. I wish I'd made this. You can live looking through the rearview mirror. But the Bible says this, God gave Moses some time. And how much time was that? It was over almost 40 years. He got words from the Lord every 40 years. We want God to speak to us every day. He got words every 40 years. He got a word from God. And how many days? It was 14,400 days. Everybody say 14,000. 14,400 days. And it says in the course of those many days. ESV. Yeah. During those many days, the king of Egypt died and the people of Israel groaned because of slavery. 14,400 days. He's on the backside of the desert. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1 says it this way. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side or the backside of the wilderness and came to Horeb, to the mountain of God. I believe it took him that long to forget some of the mistakes he made. I believe God, in the process of time, 14,400 days, worked out of him the failures. And he goes out there for 40 years. Now he's 80 years old. And he's thinking, well, you know, he's probably been drawing Social Security for about 18 years, you know, something like that. He's thinking about retire. You know, he's retired. He's 80 some years old. And listen, he has no idea that God wants to do something new in his life. Come on, all the old folks say amen. Whether you're old or you're young, God wants to do something new in your life. Listen, some people die and then they're buried 20 years later. I made up my mind, I'm going to live till I die. Come on, somebody. Learn. Let God do something new in your life. And it's been a long time since God spoke to him, but God spoke to him 40 years. And the Bible says, God worked out of him his past. And I like what Paul said in Philippians. He said, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, number one. Number two is turn aside. These 21 days that's going to come up is going to be critical for God to do something new in your life. Some of you, the 21 days are going to pass you by and you're going to be in the same rut you were in. But some of you are going to turn aside. Let me show you what I mean by that. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses was keeping his flock, his father, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will, everybody say, I will turn aside. But all of a sudden he saw a fire in the bush. And the Bible says a little fire began to burn. It wasn't a big thing, but it was a little fire. And let me tell you something. These next 21 days is going to determine a lot in your life. What you're doing, where you're going, what you do for the year, how prosperous it is, what may or may not happen in your life. But I'm going to tell you, in the next 21 days, if I could encourage you anything, it will make such a difference in your year like night and day. Until you turn aside from the rut, wherever you're at, I always tell this, the 21 days to get yourself out of Facebook and put your face in the book. Come on, somebody. You won't be hearing from God by going the same rut you're going in. But everybody say, turn aside. What'd you say, turn aside? I don't know what rut you're in, but listen, maybe you're in this or that or whatever, but if you will turn aside, the Bible says, Isaiah said, what God did in Moses' life, God will do in your life. He will give you a new thing in your life. And I love this because it says the devil doesn't want you to turn aside. Exodus chapter 3:3 says, and Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And so the Lord says to God, when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside, When the Lord saw that he turned aside, and one of the keys is God is watching. And I love this because the Bible says, draw near to God and God will what? draw near to you. If you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. I'm going to say we start these 21 days. It is the joy of my life. When we walk in here and just begin to pray, it's like I'm home. And I've learned this. God promised when you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. And so the next 21 days coming up in January is going to be such a difference. Also, at the end of January, we'll be starting small groups. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But when the Lord saw that, He turned to us. When the Lord saw it, and when the Lord saw, listen, God knows the direction of your life. And when you respond to God, God always responds back. Number three is take your shoes off. Everybody do that right now. Everybody take your shoes off. Would you go ahead and take your shoes off? That's not holes in my, I've got just gold at the top of these black socks. That's not holes in them. One time we had in the 70s, I had a pastor come here from San Antonio, and he was a pastor, he was a president of a Bible college, and he preached on, and he used to act out a lot of stuff, and he preached on putting the blood on your ear, on your thumb, and on your toe, and he went out and he grabbed one of the guys, and he rammed his, you know, he put blood, he had some stuff, and he put it on his ear, his thumb, and he brought his leg up, put his shoe off, and there his toe stuck out the hole in his sock. And so his wife was so embarrassed. But the Bible says this, and I want you to watch this, because Exodus chapter 3, let me read it and tell you what it says here. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. And he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And what he was is, he said, he looked at him and he said, listen, take your seat. Whenever you see in the Bible anybody that didn't have shoes on their feet, they were always a servant. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He comes to the father. He says, Father, make me a servant. And the father says, no, you're my son. Put shoes on his feet. That's one of the things that he told the servants to do. Because a servant was always one that had no shoes on their feet. Moses turns aside, but he's got shoes on his feet. And let me say it this way. He's there, but he's not there. And I've learned, having done this for a lot of years, there are people that come to church, and then there's people that come to church. Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian? There are people that come to audit the class, and there's others that are enrolled. There are some that just come, they're here, but they're not really here. They're thinking about what they're going to do on New Year's. They're thinking about what they ate. They're thinking about their job. They're thinking about their kids. They're just sitting here. And I wish there could be like a bowling alley marquee over top of everybody's head to show what's going through your brain at whatever time. And to know, are you here? And I've learned, if I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. And you got to see with my grandkids, when my phone rings, they all shout the same thing I shout. Sorry, I can't answer right now. I'm playing with my grandkids. Because I want them to know they're valuable. I want them to know they mean more than that ringy, dingy, 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 whatever it is. They mean more to me than that. I'm here. And if you're going to take all the time to get up, get showered, smell good, drive all the way over here, be here. Come on, somebody. Be here. And so I made my mind up, I'm going to be there. But Moses was there, but he wasn't there. So God says, take your shoes off. And he takes his shoes off and he becomes a part. And God said to Moses, take your sandals off your feet. Get involved. Become a servant. And one of the keys I found for God to do a new thing in my life is, I remember when I first got saved, I came over here, I was a car parker. I wanted to do something. I just wanted to get involved. I wanted to do something. And so I could tell you, get involved. Wherever you're at, get involved. Don't just be a spectator. Get involved, whatever gifting God's put in your life, and let God do it to you. And then number four is my favorite one, is get off your butts. Come on, somebody. Notice this one T, just for all of you grammatical, one T, all right? Get off your butts. Everybody's got a butt. Some bigger than others. Everybody's got a butt. One T, one T. Once he, yeah, Jazz is not here. She would have edited that portion, but she's not here. Hallelujah. You should see my house. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard the cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them out of the land to the good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And behold, the cry of the people of Israel had come to me, and also I've seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you, here comes a new thing, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And so, and Moses said, who am I? Listen, when God said that to Moses did not go, praise God, new thing. There's a new thing God wants to do in my life. Man, it's a great, I'm so pumped. I'm ready to roll. The Bible says, he says this in verse 11, who am I? Everybody say that. Say, who am I? Who am I? We had our CPC, crisis pregnancy or caring to love or whatever. You changed the name. My brain can't remember. We had our big party, Christmas party, a few weeks ago. And I remember we were just talking about all the Lord has done through that ministry. And really the Lord just spoke to us. You know, we were just thinking, none of us were prepared for that. And Dorothy just worked at a bank, and God just moved on a heart, a compassion in a heart for the unborn. And I was just saying, look at this. Here's just somebody that didn't have a lot of schooling and training in how to run a crisis pregnancy. They had nothing, but just had a heart to do something. And instead of saying, who am I? Just say, hey, God can do whatever God wants to, God can do. And you know how many tens of thousands of babies are alive today? Because one woman said, you know, I think God can do something through my life. I just think God can do something through my life. I just think God can do something. I don't have a lot of training, a lot of this. I just think God can do something in my life. But I love this. Moses had a speech impediment in verse 10. And he says, Moses said, Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and of tongue. See, God, the very thing you're wanting to do, this new thing in my life, that's my weakest part of my life. I'm just not a good speaker. I just don't speak well. And the Lord said, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Or is it not either? You know what God says? God can whittle away every excuse you've got why you cannot do what God's calling you to do. He whittles every little thing away. I told you this. I grew up at first when I was young. I took about 5 years of speech therapy. There are still words I cannot say. And for the Lord, for 40 years, for the Lord to make me sit in front of people and speak, I can't tell you what a ridiculous thing that is in my brain every time I do it. And I'm going to tell you, after 5 years of speech therapy and working with this and that, and there are still words with R that I just skew away from. I just don't go there. But it's amazing what God can do in your life. And I'm going to tell you, on this end of it, God is faithful. God can do through you and do things that you may never imagine what God can do. God will whittle away everything. Balaam's donkey. I mean, he uses Balaam's donkey. The dumbest. How many's ever owned a donkey? Ever owned a donkey? I've had a few donkeys in my life. No farmers in here. You know, a few people are back there. It's one of the meanest, dumbest, stubbornest animals you ever met in your life. God uses that to reprove a prophet. He causes water to come out of the flint rock. Flint was the hardest, one of the hardest rocks you can find. He causes ravens, which is where we get our word ravenous. A raven is one of the greediest birds on the earth. And he uses a raven to feed Elijah. And he used a raven to bring the twig back, you know, back during the days of Noah. And on and on and on. God can whittle away every little thing in your life. And Moses starts, listen, when God said, Moses, I got a new thing I want to do in your life. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And notice what Moses says. He starts cranking his motorboat. But. And that's the word but. And some of you had dirty minds. That's the word but I was getting at. Get off your butts. Stop butting God. Stop saying but. I can't speak but. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are. It's who he is. Come on, somebody. See, it's not who am I, it's who is the Lord. Who is the God? And I love it, Exodus says, verse 11, he says, who am I? And then look at verse 14. He says, but God said to Moses, I am who I am. And I've learned that in my life. Whatever God calls you to do, God can do it. He's, that's the remedy for fear. It's not who you are, it's who God is in you. And God can do anything through you. He uses people in the Bible, they were nobodies. They literally were nobodies that God used over and over again. And it's here where the Lord really wants to do something in your life. And I love number five is this. When you get his, God is going to put some of you in situations where you need to learn this about him in Isaiah 43, that know that God is a way maker. I am the Lord, your holy, the Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. Thus says the Lord who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty one. Who makes, everybody say makes a way. God is the way maker. I don't know the last time you ever had God make a way for you where there was no way. Listen, Moses obeyed God, went to Pharaoh. God, after months, left Egypt in shambles. They gave them jewelry. They gave them gold. They left Egypt not empty-handed. They got all the back pay. Come on, somebody say back pay. They got all the back pay those Egyptians owed them for all those years of slavery. They went out with the treasures of Egypt. And when they got out there, you ought to see what God did. I love this. Because God brought Moses. He brought him to a place. And if you can see the typography of it, he brought him to a place where it was an inlet. He brought him in and he brought him out on this piece of land. Now, on one side was a mountain. On one side was a sea. On this side was a sea. And he brings him out here. And I love that because I picture it this way in my mind. He brings Moses out there and 3 million people. And they're crammed on this little island, you know, this inlet going out. And they're blocked. They're blocked on the left. They're blocked on the forward. They're blocked by a mountain on the right. And God says, okay, now stay right here. I'll be right back. And Moses says, wait, God, where are you going? And God said, I'm going to get Pharaoh. I'll be right back. And I don't know if you've ever considered that maybe God is the author of whatever it is you're challenging or you're facing. I don't know if you've ever thought that maybe God is the one that's put you in that dire position that you're in. And so Moses is sitting there thinking, what are you, God, you're bringing Pharaoh with me here? And the Bible says that God brought Pharaoh. And then he put a cloud. And then the Bible says, God said, I want to teach you that I am the way maker when you don't think there's a way. When your life, when you think there is absolutely no way out, there's nothing going to happen. When you think you're God said, I want to teach you I'm the way. You know what the Bible says? The Spirit of God began to blow upon that water. They'd never seen this in their life. It begins to part. And the Bible says it had to be miles wide to get 3 million people across in a night. It does it, brings 3 million people across. They're on the other side. They look back and here comes Pharaoh's army just charging them. And the Bible says, you ought to see this. The Bible says God caused the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots to fall off. And they fell off. And then God just withdrew his breath. And Isaiah said, God wants to do that in your life. We were in Israel a month or so ago, and you should have seen this. It's the busiest time of the year to go in October, November. It's the prime time to go. And we went to Bethlehem, where the birth of Jesus, and there were, I don't know how many hundreds, there were people you couldn't even budge. I was afraid I was going to lose our group. There was to go back down where they believed Jesus was born was a 2.5 hour wait. And there was lines everywhere. And then not only the people in the lines, there were just people standing around. And you just had to crowd your way through like a subway and going all this. And so I looked at everybody and said, I've already been there, so we ain't going. Let's come on, we're not going to wait 2.5 hours. Well, Jasmine, she's got the spirit of her daddy on her. And she said, we're going to go. We're going to go down and see where Jesus was born. I said, I ain't waiting 2.5 hours. I said, you guys get your cab back home. I'm going back home. Will you just wait? So she disappears. And I've lost her. You know, been a good life. And so but listen, I can't explain to you how packed this. I mean, it's like if we all went to McDonald's right now. We all went to McDonald's. We were trying to. And so after about 10 minutes, we're just down. Here she comes back with this. Priest, you know, and they have the black, you know, the big black collar and everything on there. She comes back with this priest, and in Bethlehem they have the Greek and the Armenian has a quarter there, and they take care of this site. She comes back with the Armenian priest, that she knew from Beirut. And knew her dad well and knew her aunt well and on and on. And said, he said he can get us around the back way. Come on, somebody. And so we told everybody, don't say a word. And so we started following, and we bypassed this 2.5 hour, I can't tell you how long this, 2.5 hour long line. We were just walking by, you know, it's like when you got the fast pass at Disney. Come on, somebody. We're just walking by it, and we walk all the way around the backside, and all of a sudden this Greek priest starts shouting us, are you Armenians? Are all of you Armenians? I mean, half of us are blonde hair, blue eyes. And I told everybody, don't say a word. Don't everybody say a word. And they take us in the back way, takes us down to where Jesus, they believe Jesus was born. And we have our time there and come back. Come on. Everybody say, God's a way maker. Come on, somebody. He's a way maker. So we gave Jasmine a hand. We appreciated that. And she did that. But listen, God is a way maker. God can make a way where there is no other way. God wants to do a new thing in your life today. Let me tell you, are you ready for a new journey? You know, let me give you a wisdom from an old guy now. Let me give you wisdom that I've learned. If you never leave where you are, you're going to end up where you are. Is that too deep for you? Was that too deep for you? Let me say it again. If you don't leave where you are, you're going to end up where you are. And if you're not ready, if you never leave, you'll never arrive. Listen, I don't know about your house. Jazz is not here, so I could tell this. I'm going to tell this. I don't know about your house, but one of the most aggravating things for me is when I'm going somewhere, because when I go somewhere, I'm going. When I announce I'm leaving, I got my keys in my hand. I'm at the door. I'm leaving. And the worst thing I like is being stopped. I do not like being stopped when I'm ready to go out the door. So I'm just saying this. When I announce I'm leaving, when I announce I'm going, I'm going. But my family is different. Growing up, I guess, Jazz, what are you doing today? Oh, we're going to the bank. We're going to go to the, you know, we're going to the mall. We're going to go, you know, get this. We're going to go get some food. We're going to go. And I'd leave and come back in an hour and they're still there. And I said, I thought you were going. I'm going. I thought you were leaving. I'm leaving. Now, I'm not invalidating because there's the stuff that she has to do. I'm just saying when I announce I'm leaving, I'm gone. When I say I'm leaving, next thing you hear is a door shutting. Come on, somebody. Now, what doth this mean? Let's see what doth this mean? Now, let me just say this. There's people in the church that we do something like this at the end of the year. And they say, hey, I'm on board. I'm going. And then next year, at the end of 2019, they're at the same place where they were in 2018. And then 2020 and 2021. And so let me tell you this. You've got to get ready. Listen, you've got to get ready to say, I'm going. You got to listen. You need to let the spirit of George Jefferson fall on you. I'm moving on up. Come on, somebody. That same spirit that fell on, you know, on the Jed Clampett. Come on, move away from here. Come on. Load up your truck and move to Beverly. You know, one of the keys is Matthew 24:15 says, let me just say this. So when you see the abomination desolation spoke by prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, or let the one who is in the field turn back to take his cloak. When you get ready to move, there are things you cannot take with you. You cannot take with you all the junk from 2018 into 2019. There's things you need to leave. And I've learned this. Some people, they go back to the house and they go back in their life and they want to take all this stuff with them into the next move. God got something new for you. Listen, if you got so many things, you got this on your back, you grab breath, and you come into God and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Put that new thing on me. And you say, God said, where? There's no room. Instead of looking like George Jefferson, you look like Fred Sanford. Come on, somebody. With old crazy Lamont up in the back seat there, you know. Most of the young people don't know who I'm talking about, but that's. But God wants to do something new in your life. And so it's a great time and a great thing that the Lord wants to do. I don't know what it is for you, but not only stuff, but people God wants you to leave behind. There's some things that the Lord just wants to do. Listen, tomorrow morning, those of you that are willing for the Lord to do something new in your life, tomorrow morning you'll go to work. But somewhere inside of you, you've already gone someplace. You may see the same old people, like, you know, ghost of Christmas past, but you've already gone somewhere. I want you to do this. I want everybody to take the keys. Take the keys out of your pocket, would you? Take your keys out of your pocket. I like this because it says in Exodus 12, it says when they ate the first Passover, you know, when they had, which was a symbol and a kind of a symbol of our communion. It says, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, the Lord's Passover. Do you know what the Lord did? That first Passover, do you know what they ate it? They didn't eat it, you know, lay back in their lazy chair and round a big, you know what they did? They ate it. It reminded me of a woman one time. She was cooking her first meal, and she for her family, and they all knew she wasn't a cook. How many here are not cooks? Let me see. I mean, how many are not? Okay. She was not a good cook. And I remember that they said, you know, I'm going to cook it. Now, if you don't like it, we'll go out to eat. You know, and so when she came out of the kitchen with the big pot, they all were down there. They had their coats on and their hats on. Come on, somebody. And that first Passover, God said, and our day would be, have your keys in your hand. That Passover, he said, when you eat that, you know what they were doing? They were eating Passover. They had their keys in their hand. You know what? Because as soon as you get done, we're hauling it. We're going. We're leaving. And so God wants to do this. And there's a new thing in your life. Listen, in this year with the keys in your hand. In this year with the keys in your hand. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up. Come on, everybody stand up today. You know, Isaiah 43 says, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Will you not perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness. You know, one of the keys, one day, you know, one of the keys about the greatest new thing that God ever did in my life was back when I was 19 years old and just turned 19. And I'd been saved. I'd been loved the Lord when I was a child all the way up to my high school years in college. And I got away. But 19 years old, I remember here in Baton Rouge, over at 8181 Airline Highway, which is where Home Depot is now. There used to be a motel over there. And a Baptist pastor was having a mission, and he was having Sunday services in Oak Manor Motor Hotel, it was called. And I remember he came, knocked on our door one day during the week, and invited us to Sunday morning service. And I looked at him, I said, that's not my bag. I still remember saying that. No, I'm sorry, Pastor, that's not my bag. But somehow Sunday morning, I remember I came, and I went anyway. And I remember when you get an old Baptist preacher and he's doing a mission work and he sees some fish, I mean, he doesn't stop reeling. And I remember he asked my dad, who was back then, we all came to church together. He asked my dad, if you remember those churches where they used to ask somebody to end in prayer. You know, they say, Brother so-and-so, would you end today in prayer? And they say, Brother Workman, would you end today in prayer? And my dad was a very humble, you know, you've met my dad, remember my dad. My dad was a very humble man. I remember my dad said, Pastor, said, I'm not worthy to pray. And, you know, for a Baptist pastor, that's like, you know, red on a bull. I mean, he just, you know. And so he went back to the back. He said, Brother, do you want to be worthy to pray? Let me help. And he led him in the salvation's prayer. And then he looks down the row. Here we're all standing there. He said, looks down the row. He said, what about the rest of your family? And, you know, God, listen, I'll never forget. God did a new thing in my life that morning. Changed me forever. And it made the trajectory of my life totally different than what it would have been. And this morning, I want you to close your eyes. Maybe you're here and you need God to do something new in your life. Maybe you need God to do a new thing that might be the eternal kind of new thing, where God can change you on the inside and make you different, give you a future, give you a hope, make a way where there is. Maybe you've come this morning because you're in a situation where there really is no way out. And now God wants to show himself to be the way maker in your life. Maybe he needs to do that in your life. And so this morning, if you're here and you say, God, I need God to do something new in my life. And I'm talking about the eternal kind. Maybe you're here and you need God to do the eternal kind, where you need to really have your life changed. Have everything that you thought was important change. Everything that you thought how you were going to do the rest of your life change. And you're just at an emptiness. You're at a place where you've gotten a lot of stuff and It's just empty. It's just empty inside. And you need God to do something new in your life. If that's you, every head bowed, I want you to just raise your hand. Would you just raise your hand and get my attention? And then we're going to pray. We're not going to call you out. Not going to embarrass you. But God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. Somebody else. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. You just want to say, God, I want God to do something new in my life. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you back there. Anybody else change? You know, anybody else this morning? God, you just want God to say, God, I need a change. Okay, let's pray with that group of people. Come on. Father, you love us more than we can ever know. Lord, you've loved us before we were ever born. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they have to be removed. And so, Lord, these names, the name of every person that raised their hand this morning, Lord, you knew them before they were ever born. You had a plan for them, and you've got something you want to do in their life and make their life feel like it's worth living. And so, Lord, I pray, I ask you right now, would you save them? Would you open their hearts to you? Lord, as they have turned aside this morning, and Lord, they've reached out to you. You promised that if they would, that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if they will turn and seek you, that they will find you when they seek you with all their heart. And that if they draw near to you, you will draw near to them. And so we believe that this morning as a group of believers. We believe it in Jesus' name. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. I want you to pray. We're going to all pray together and help you pray. And just say, Dear Jesus, I want you. Change my life. Do a new thing in me. Forgive me of all I've done wrong. Thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for paying my price. Now I ask you to save me and do a new thing in me. I commit my life to you totally. I surrender all. Change me, Jesus. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a great clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. Come on, lift your voices. Come on.